It's going to be really good, but it's going to be really hard. The Lord's been speaking to me about obedience, and that he wants my whole obedience, regardless of what that looks like. And so we're going to teach on obedience, but then we're going to teach on what he's doing through the obedience, because obedience empowers. And that's what the Lord is calling us to be empowered. And I've never received so many confirmations about a message before today. I got a text about it. I had someone stop me in the hallway. I got an email from Bill all in the last half an hour. So I know there's something about obedience and the empowerment that comes from obedience today. So I'm going to start with a prayer. Psalm 14, 3:10. So just position yourself in a way. Because when I prayed this, it kind of changed a lot of things in my life. And yeah. I just want to obey all you ask of me. So you can make that declaration to the Lord today. Can we do that together? Only if you want to. Because you don't know why I might be calling you to. So here we go. I just want to obey all you ask of me. So teach me. Lord, for you are my God. Your gracious spirit is all that I need. Your gracious spirit is all that I need. Okay, that's all we need. Gracious spirit, all that I need. So lead me on good paths that are pleasing to you. My one and only God. So he says, lead me on good paths. Covered in butter. Good paths. But you know what? This path might not be the path that everybody else is on. We seem to always think, what's a good path? Is it the path that everyone's on? Because you know, it is easier. It has probably already been cut down, might even be paved. But what path do you want us to take? We can say that individually or corporately. What path do you want us to take? And that's where the obedience comes in. Because there could be other paths that look easier to walk in, but I want to go to the pathway of the Lord that he has called. How narrow it is, how treacherous it may appear in my fears, but I know the Lord's faith will meet me on the path, and I want to walk in the path the Lord has called us to. So obedience for the harvest, that's the title of the teaching. And so when you hear our harvest, a lot of times you think of harvest at the souls, harvest at the end of the age. That's part of it, because I think we have to be obedient to be wakened in this time, in this hour, to engage with what the Lord is doing for the harvest of the age. But that may be your personal harvest. Because we've all been planting for a long time. Maybe you've been planting for your career. Maybe you've been planting for your family. Maybe you've been planting, and the harvest is coming. But what has got you to the harvest is obedience. Because obedience gives us the ability to work the harvest. And so I was saying that this week, give me the ability, give me the ability. And then the Lord was like, the greater the obedience, the greater the harvest. Whether that be in ministry, whether that be in work, whether that be in life, is you can just have a harvest, but I want a great harvest. And if that calls me to be radically obedient when everyone else around me thinks, I don't know if I'd do that if I was you. That I'm going to say no to the fear of man because the Lord has called me to the fullness of the obedience to move in what the Lord has called. Because we want that. We want that edification. We want that, I think that's a good idea for you. Maybe you shouldn't do that. You know, we start listening to the opinions and the things of man, but when you're fully obedient and fully engaged into what the Lord has called you to, that fear of man just falls off. So disobedience causes immobility. You become stagnant. You don't. From the extreme of not wanting to get out of bed to the being stuck in your everyday life and being like, I can't wait until I turn 65 and can retire. It's immobility. You've reached the position in life where in your career or whatever, it's like, I can ride this out. You know, I'm 50, 15 more years, whatever. But you know, in the kingdom of God, you guys know this. In the kingdom of God, there is no age. You're going to be used until the end of your last breath. But what's it like to be obedient? So if you want to, go ahead and turn to the book of Jonah. There's not a slide on this. And so when I was thinking about obedience, I was thinking of, the story, because it goes a lot with that. And then I heard Bill talking about the story of Jonah. And then next week I came into the office here and Deb had Jonah on the computer. And then I watched a cartoon with my girls and it was the story of Jonah. So I got hit three times. Jonah, 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 what are you trying to say in the book of Jonah? So I am just going to paraphrase some of this. So in the very beginning, Jonah 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away. Disobedience. Ran away. I don't think, seeing the other story of what Jonah did and his relationship with the Lord, he was necessarily running away from the Lord. He was running away from the fear of man, the fear of judgment, the fear of being wrong, the fear of persecution. What's Nineveh going to do when I have this prophecy for them? And they're like, no. The fear of what happens if it doesn't come true, which was probably a justified fear. So Jonah goes, he's running from the Lord, he gets on a ship. He's on the ship, there's this violent storm, and all the sailors were afraid. And so they started throwing cargo into the ocean to make this ship lighter. But Jonah was below deck, where he lay down and fell asleep in the storm. I have never caught this before. Who does that sound like? Don't we know someone else who did that? Jesus. So in the time of running or being disobedient with what the Lord's called him to do, there was still a peace that he had. Everybody else was freaking out. But he knew God. He knew the Lord. And he knew even running that there was a peace that came that no one else had. So you might be running in disobedience right now and still feel a peace about it because you know the Lord. But is the fullness of what the Lord's called you to? Because we find out a little bit later here that he becomes very immobile. So the sailors start talking and they say to each other, let's find out what's going on. So they cast lots. Who's responsible for this storm? They said, who is this guy, Jonah? What's going on? I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. So this terrified the people. What have you done? And they knew nothing that he was running away from the Lord. But you see, man's judgment, what have you done? They immediately like, well, this is up to you. Then what have you done? Why are you running away? And that's what happens when you run away from the Lord. You start to open yourself up to judgment, criticism. So the sea was getting rougher. They want it to calm down. So he replied, I never remembered this in the story before. I thought these people were ticked off and they just threw him in the ocean. No, he voluntarily did it because he knew something wasn't connected, something wasn't right, something in his disobedience. These weren't people that were vicious, that were mean. They were like, oh, okay. So he's like, pick me up, throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. For I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. And they asked him, do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. So he felt guilt. He felt shame in his disobedience. He thought, look what I'm bringing on these people. And again, like Jesus on the cross, don't hold him accountable. Now, the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Now, this is where the immobility comes into. He was in the belly for 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed. So we have the prayer of Jonah. But his disobedience caused the reaction to be in the water, but then the immobility came. He wasn't doing what the Lord called him to do. He wasn't prophesying, so he was stuck in this fish. I asked the Lord, what does that look like? That's my new thing. Every time I read a scripture, I'm like, what did that really look like? It blows my mind. And then this thing came in, where some people in Christianity believe this. Well, it's not an actual fish. It's just this whole story is symbolic. And I saw an actual fish. I believe it to be an actual fish because my God is supernatural. And he is engulfed in this fish, this digestive function of a fish, which it wasn't natural for a man to be in this fish. And so what did the fish do after he prayed? I spit him out. Some versions of the Bible say he puked him out. I thought that was interesting. He vomited him out. So it caused distress. In my distress, I called to the Lord. This is Jonah 2, his prayer. And he answered me, from deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. And you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again towards the holy temple. Sounds very similar to, where does my help come from? Looks to the Lord. So in your midst of obedience or not being obedient, we have one to look to. I look to you, Lord. So he ran, but he didn't run from the Lord. So if you haven't been obedient, you're not running from the Lord. You're just seeing him in a different light. I don't want to be in a fish. Yeah, Lauren's like, no. I don't want to be in a fish. I would rather deal with the fear of man in Nineveh than be in a fish. So then it goes on. I love this prayer because just see the anguish of this person. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. Okay, this is a good visual. This was not just someone having a vision. This was going on. But you, Lord, God, brought my life up from the pit. So those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God. What is a reason for not being obedient? So, I think we're on missionaries all the time, but I'm just going to use this example. The Lord's called you to Africa, has called you to India, and you are just clinging on to those idols, that car, that job, because you're not going to have a retirement in India. Our wonderful medical system here. Whatever it is that you're clinging on to, it's an idol. So worthless. Immobility comes from clinging on to these worthless idols. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation comes from the Lord. So we go on here. He gets spit out, digestive system. Comes out with the toxins, the things, the half-eaten things. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. Was a journey, still journeying. Did he question the journey as he was walking? Even after he was disobedient and went through all that, was he still questioning? Like, I can you imagine the journey to Nineveh? I'm going to tell these people what? Yes, I'm going to tell these people this. Yeah, they're not going to like it. They're not going to like it. Should I go? I'm sure there was questioning. When Jonah's warning went to the king of Nineveh, they repented. The people repented of their ways. So he was faithful. He was obedient. He thought they were going to be destroyed, but they weren't. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring them to destruction. So, I was thinking, you've all heard prophecies, and you have prophecies from different camps and things. And I remember, like, when we had a former administration, there was some prophecies and some things that came forward. This is the end of this country. This is the end of our economy. This is the end of everything as we know it. On such and such date, these things, we heard the prophecies of the Lord. And we know from teaching now that we don't necessarily, we look towards the kingdom of God and we look to the fullness of God. And so when I remember in those prophecies, I thought, I did it. I was like, they're wrong. I was like, they were just wrong. They were just cursing the country and they shouldn't have been that and that. And then the Lord was like, well, what happens if it's because you repented and turned of your ways? We prayed about it. We prayed about things. Was it an actual warning? And then because we turned of our ways like Nineveh, that we're in the place that we're in now? And we're in a really good place. We're in a really good place. Amazing things are happening in the kingdom. I want to be a part of it. Do you want to be a part of it? I know it's going to require some obedience. I don't know what that is for you. I'm starting to see glimpses of what it is for me, and yeah, it kind of scares me. I'll just be honest. So at the end of the story, Jonah went, and he'd gone out. And Jonah was kind of upset. He was like, what? I had this prophecy? So Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, waited to see what would happen to the city. Then Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade. So, you know, the Lord was like, oh man, you gave this prophecy, it didn't work out here. You're in my shadow. You're in my rest. He grew him a tree. He's telling him, you're in my rest. You're in my shadow. Don't get upset. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant, because his heart probably wasn't changing. It's very similar to Elijah under the sycamore tree. God, why? What? You told me to call fire down from heaven. Now what? When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die. And this is his quote. It would be better for me to die than to live. One version of the Bible says, I'm angry, I have every right to be angry, and I want to die. I can kind of relate. Now, I don't know if that was like a literal, I kind of think it probably was for Jonah. I think we say in our contemporary styling of that is, oh, I want to die. I don't know if Jonah was really struggling with suicide or if it's translated, oh, I wish I was dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right from their left hand? So I believe that is a picture of where we are at in this country. And the Lord is telling us now is the time. How long have we been talking about an end-time revival or an end-time awakening or an end-time harvest? Or there's a lot of people that are going to come to the Lord or all this, and we have just grown tired. We have just grown asleep, immobile, complacent. I have for about a decade, honestly, but the Lord's been waking me up and saying, it's now. Now is the time. The things are coming in alignment. The things are in place. The kingdom of God is at hand. So what keeps us immobile? I was watching this. This is, again, you know how I like to do the things with counterfeits and then what the Lord is doing? So there is this thing going on right now, and it's by a woman who's been through a lot of things in her life. She has a degree in psychology, and she had this idea that was given to her. She's not a Christian, and she was like, I am going to start sharing with people this idea, this concept. And it kind of goes on a traditional thing that sometimes you do in secular counseling about taking something that's in your life that's wrong and putting it out, like putting it in a box, showing that it's separate than you, that it's here, and I want to get it out of my life because it's causing me to be immobile. So here's how this thing goes. And I'm not sure what word to use, because this kind of reminds me of my Paul teaching about when he was in the lower cell and they would poop. I hate the word poop, but, you know, do their business. I use the term shit on him. And it's like not to get on. So I have to use that term again, and I'm not sure what to use, because doesn't poop sound like you're talking to your three-year-old? But then the other one is kind of vulgar. But then, so help me out, Darren. What's a good term? Poo? Boo-boo? Oh, no, I can't do that. That's like taking back from three to two. I don't know. Crap? Okay with crap? Crap is good with everyone? Okay. So we're gonna go with crap. I'm going to use this one more time just because if you look this on the internet, that's what it is. So this woman started a movement that's called Get the Crap Out. And what it's based on is it's based on all of these things that we collect and that we hold on to. And like that, we become constipated. We become immobile. Right? It's immobility. Yeah. We're spiritually constipated. You know the look. Some of you look at right now looking at me. You got to get it out. So, she does this thing where she has a four-story emoji that is the poop emoji. I'll use poop for that. And you can go inside of it, and it's this multimedia presentation. And she gives everyone, you have to pay a lot of money for this, and she gives everyone an iPad, and you write your stuff on it, the stuff you want to get out. And then the multimedia shows up, and it shows on the poop. And then you go through this thing with everyone, and you go through this, I'm getting the crap out of my life. Because that's what keeps you immobile. Constipation is immobility. And so the Lord, I was watching that, and I was like, that's just crazy. Like, I do not want to sit in, like, a four-story emoji poop with a bunch of people and do that. And the Lord was like, that is a counterfeit. That's what it is coming to him, coming to his cross. To be obedient, to be in repentance, to be caught up in spiritual constipation. You know, because we have a harvest, we have an awakening, we have something coming. It's hard to do anything when you're constipated. You don't want to go to work. You don't want to work the harvest. You become bloated. You can't wear your favorite skinny jeans. It's not a comfortable feeling. You're in pain. We got to get it out. We got to get it out. That attitude, you got to get it out. There's a lot of work in the kingdom that's coming. We have to be mobile. So, I'm going to tell a story. Yes, it's about constipation. Why does constipation put a heaviness in the room? You've all experienced it. Okay, so my daughter, and she has this problem, and it's with her intestines and with her bowels and stuff like that. And we're working on it, and there's some new therapies and some new things, and we're working on it. And she has to take this horrible medicine that's toxic, and it's just gross, and I hate it. And it's called, which I'm sure some of you probably take it, Miralax. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, what? What is it going to take? Is it going to take Miralax? What's it going to take to get over this spiritual constipation? And the Lord was like, I'm a miracle God. It's a miracle lax. So that thing that's keeping you immobile, that health, that sickness, that disease, there's a miracle today for that. It's a miracle. There's a miracle today. And we found a new doctor for her in Cincinnati. And we had doctors here tell us, this section of the colon is dead, that we're going to have to go in and we're going to have to remove this section of the colon. And we've been battling that for, 6 years. No, we don't want to do that, but we don't want to be on medicine our whole life. What do we need to do? And the doctor, we see him this week. I was speaking to him over the phone, and he said, I don't think her colon, that section of her colon is dead. He's like, I think it's never been awakened. He's like, I don't think there's nerve endings that are missing there. He goes, I think they've never been awakened. So what we need to do is we need to figure out ways to awaken what is dead. And one of the treatments that he talked about how to awaken what was dead was through frequency, vibration, all these things that we have talked through. The frequency of heaven. And so when I heard that, the Lord was like, I am going to deliver whatever constipates you spiritually through the frequency of heaven. That is my miracle. Because you need to work the harvest. You need to be obedient to everything that I've called you to. So the Lord is speaking obedience today. So, obedience for what? What happens when you look at the future? What happens when you think about the future of your life? When I first came to the Lord, I was really excited by the idea of an awakening or by the idea of that happening, by the idea of seeing God's glory come to earth and be manifested among us all and among people on the streets and all of that. And like I said, I went to sleep. But you know, I wasn't dead. We're not dead. May there's parts that have gone to sleep. They're being woken. So did you all know or have you seen things about the awakening in Brazil, the things that are happening in the country of Brazil and about the president? And the president has met with our president, and the president has accepted the Lord, just not accept the Lord. He's a spirit-filled Christian. And all of this has happened in the past couple years. And at the beginning of this year, the Lord gave me that word that he was awakening that part of the country, the part of the world, that it was awakening. And it's awakening. The Americas are awakening. We're not dead. We are awakened. So can we just all get excited about that? Yeah. I mean, seriously. I renew the joy of your salvation. You're going to bring that salvation to other people. So let's get joyful about our salvation, but let's get joyful about we're going to bring that to other people. So I was thinking, what does this look like? What is this going to look like for me? What's this going to look like for us? What is this going to look like? And you know, as a person that has experienced things, as you have all experienced things, you want to look at past experiences. And you want to be like, it's going to look this way. And so I was thinking about where I'd seen the Lord move and things before. And, you know, we have these movements. We have these things that happen that a lot of you are familiar with. And they come and people get excited and then they go. And then we go back to this immobility, all of that. When I first came to this church, a lot of people, a lot of the leadership were going to the Toronto Blessing, which was a vineyard at the time. And I knew nothing about church experience. I grew up Catholic. I knew nothing. And I was going to a home group for a few months before I came to church. And I came to church right in the midst of all that going on. And I loved it. I loved to see something that was real, that my mind couldn't get around. I loved the openness. I loved the freedom. I don't know if Bill remembers this. We were having a special prayer meeting. It was upstairs. It was the second level. We had an intercession room at the building before this. And we're praying, and holy laughter came. And Bill was on the floor, and he was laughing. And they stood up. He prayed for me. I fell on top of Bill. I was laughing on Bill's chest. I rolled over, and we sat there for like an hour laughing. I was sore the next day because of the presence of the Lord that was bringing joy. Because I needed joy. That's probably the first time in my life I really laughed. You know? And for me, I had to have that supernatural touch, or it probably wouldn't have worked, because that's what has sustained my spirituality, my life, my relationship with Jesus, and wanting to pursue more. I probably would have been, you know, I probably would have stayed with Jesus and the idea of Christianity, but my pursuit or my drive for more is constantly because of that original encounter of the supernatural, and I'm like, that's what I want to show people. That's what I want to be part of. So we had that, and then we had like a house of prayer thing. Steve led a house of prayer in town, and I went to some IHOP things, and then I discovered Morningstar and had some Morningstar things, and there was a Pensacola revival in there. There was all these things because I was searching, I was looking, I wanted something filled, and then I reached a point where it wasn't doing it anymore. You know, by the time the Bethel thing, which is wonderful, came around, I was like, oh, I do not want to go to another conference. I do not want to get on another plane. I'm just not there. I still have a relationship with the Lord and the supernatural, but what the Lord told me was what he's about to do and what he has started here is not a movement. It's the end time revival. It's the end time harvest. It's what we've been waiting for all this time. And so if we try to contain it into one of those experiences or one of those things or put a name on it or put an expression on it, we're going to miss it. Because what he's doing is the kingdom, and it's not a movement. It's our eternity. So, Lord, we want to walk into the eternity. We want to walk into what you have called us to. Acts 2, 17, verse 2, 17. You know, this is in Acts. Even though it was in Joel as well, because they thought it was that time, which I'm sure it was to a level. But I think it's definitely the time that we're in now. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. That chapter in, not in Acts, but in Joel, we have often received as prophecies for this place. And I know as soon as I say that, there's probably that little whispering or that thought in your mind, here we go again. Here we go again. Because it's the promise. It's the promise of God. And it's the season that's getting ready for us. So there is a lot of people coming. There's a lot of things that are getting ready to happen in the kingdom of God. And we got to be regular. We got to get what's irregular, making us immobile, out of us. Do you want it out of you? I got stuff. I do. I was just constipated this week. Spiritually. You know, things happen. Things go wrong. You have one of those days where like five things go wrong at one time. The car won't start. The heater won't work. Kid is sick. It's all coming at you. And you start to think, oh, I'm angry. I have every right to be angry and I want to die. Right, Elijah. So what have we learned from that? We've learned that prophets are moody. We can't judge somebody for their moodiness because they hear from the Lord or not. We're people, we're human, but we're superhuman, we're supernatural. And as we get all this behind, the Lord is giving us an invitation to be obedient, to put all that behind us, so we can be fully engaged with what he's about ready to do on earth. So where are you all at? Are you ready to go forward? So this morning, I was looking at the shirt in the mirror. Okay? I started thinking of things when I was looking at the shirt. And do you remember in the 80s or in the early 90s, those posters they would have at like Spencer Gift in the mall? And you would stare at it, and the longer you would stare at it, a picture would come to you? Okay. Does everybody know? Yeah. I think I put a good description of it. And so the Lord took me back to memories, and I remember I was in the mall because that's what we did in the 80s, especially if you were a teenager. You went to the mall, and there was a Spencer Gift, and there was these posters. And this is like, so before social media and the internet, I mean, people getting excited about a paper poster, I mean, you can imagine. And so everyone's staring at the posters, you know. And I remember this old lady, and she was like, I just don't see it, George. I just don't see it. You know? And then there was the other person looking at it, and it's like, oh, yeah, I see it. I see it. Don't you see it? I see it. It's right there. Don't you see it? And you're kind of thinking, are they really seeing it, or are they just saying that because other people are seeing it? And then there's other people looking at it, and they're like, I just don't see it. Why can't I see it? I need to see it. Why can't I see this? I need to see it. And then you have the person that just looks right away and they're like, oh yeah, it's a horse playing in a field, jumping over a fence, a gate, and there's, you know, a rainbow in the sky. And you're like, what? How do you see all that? George, I just don't see it. Yeah. And so when I'm looking at my shirt, I was like, is there something there? Like, Lord, is there something there? Like, what's going on? And so I saw this hand of the Lord come out. I was coming out. I was like, what? This hand is coming out. And this just isn't about me or a word for me about all of you, but it was about the call. It was about the being obedient. And it was like, all of us, we have the hand of God. We have the Spirit of the living God that comes out and wants to touch people. Amen. So when we get over our stuff and when we get obedient, we have the hand of God that's wanting to touch this generation, wants to touch millennials, wanting to bring in the harvest, wants to awaken that as the asleep. Awake, awake, O sleeper. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The first part of that is about being illuminated. The light comes and shines. So that's what's happening as the light is coming. I'm going to pray about that picture analogy, because where I was going about that is that's the kingdom of God. Haven't we had those experiences with other people like, well, I see in the spirit that there's an angel, there's this and that, and you might be, George, I don't see anything. And, you know, I never did see stuff in those posters. I was not a person that could see things. And I did later on in life. I did later on in life. But you know what I learned was? I was trying too hard. I was freaking myself out. I was thinking here. Because when you look at one, it's just like the kingdom of God. It's just like the kingdom, the angels. The angel that's right there. I was trying too hard. So don't try. It's not a mind thing. It's a spirit thing. So this is where we're headed. Revelation 14:6. Then I saw another angel flying in midair. Some people refer this as to angel one. There's three angels that come, but this was the first angel. I feel like this is the season that we're in. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who lived on the earth, to every nation, every tribe, every language, and every people. That's what's happening. As the Lord is revealing himself, every tribe, every nation. What's your tribe? What's your nation? You don't have to be like that missionary I was talking about and go to India or Africa. The nations are fully represented in this city. He wants to get out. He needs help. Awake, O sleeper. Arise and shine, for your light has come. It's a message to the church. And just like the story I shared about my daughter, it's not dead. It needs to be awakened. So we're going to do two things. We're going to pray about constipation. And we're going to pray about awakening and your obedience and your call. Because I see a lot of people coming. I don't just mean that for this church. I mean to Jesus. All right. Can you stand? This is how things change, because as we pray about spiritual constipation, back in the Toronto days, there would probably be somebody in the middle aisle trying to get the constipation out. I kid you not. That's how stoic we have become. So I'm saying there's freedom here, and whatever you need to do to get over this, to get past, whatever it is that's making you immobile, it's time to get it out. If you got to travail it out, if you got to cough it out, I don't care if you got to puke it out. We want to be mobile people for the kingdom of God. I got to get stuff out. Lord, I just thank you for this revelation that you are bringing us, that you're bringing to people's hearts and people's minds right now of things that keep them from living the fullness of God. Lord, we speak mobility in that area of the mind, of the thoughts, of the spirit that keep people from fully walking and engaging in the purposes of God. So he's just, Holy Spirit, bringing things to your mind right now. Don't feel overwhelmed. Some of you might be getting more than one thing. This sure beats being in a poop emoji, by the way. Okay, Lord, these are the things. These are the things Holy Spirit has recognized in us that is causing us to not fully be engaged, to not fully be mobile. We thank you, Holy Spirit, and by the power of Jesus, that you are being removed. Every wasted toxin, pollutant that has stayed in our body of this world that no longer belongs, we say we are the body of Christ.
We are the body of Christ.
We are set free.
We are set free.
You know, the being set free thing, I've been doing that now for 25 years. But the Lord showed me new things this week that I needed to be set free from. So if you don't have anything, check your pride, because there's probably something there. So Lord, we speak to everything that binds, everything that pollutes, everything that's toxic, thoughts, spiritual things that we engage in that do not align with the kingdom of God, and we say, be gone and make room for the anointing for the harvest. Holy Spirit, we accept your empowerment to be engaged in this hour, in this season, in these days, in the awakening, in the harvest, and we say, this sleep is over. Awake, we rise, and we shine. And that we are the light in this world. We receive your empowerment to go from this place and to be guardians of light. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you, I always like to have time for prayer. If you need prayer, if the Lord's given you anything that you feel like you need prayer about, or if you just need the Lord to speak in a prophetic word, we'll have people pray for you. Feel free to come on up. But you're leaving today with the light. You're the light in this dark world. Thank you, Lord. Amen.